The Independent Day edition of Rosie on the House with Dr. David Dean, Assistant Professor of History at Grand Canyon University. We're talking about enlightenment. Dare to know. Have courage to use your own reason. The birth of this great nation. And our first president, George Washington. If you have not read a biography of George Washington, I would almost tell you, turn the radio off, go get a good biography of George Washington and read. He was an incredible man.
Right. Get past the cherry tree story and go to the real parts about him as both a general, as part of the Continental Congress, and then certainly his presidency, and then post-presidency, all the different kind of things. What an amazing person. And again, someone who's embodying the very principles of the Enlightenment.
What would we do today for a president that didn't like to speak publicly? I would do a lot for a president like that.
Yeah.
He was George Washington. Did not really participate much in the Independence Hall conversations. He just kind of sat there.
He presided over the meetings. He knew that when they were starting to get close to trying to pick a leader of the military, he really wanted that job. And so every day he would come in his uniform, and he'd bring donuts and pass them around.
Dress for your job.
When they kind of said, "Hey, we're looking for somebody to be the general," he's like, "Well, you know."
Really?
You know, kind of pointing to his dusting off his uniform from the old French and Indian Wars, you know. But he was not one who assumed power by taking it. He actually assumed power, got more power by giving it away.
Yeah.
You mentioned before Cincinnatus. That's a kind of a Roman story of the guy who would leave the plow and go and save Rome. And then when the danger was over, he returned to his plow. And that's really the model, that Enlightenment model of George Washington, that he didn't want the power. He didn't believe that it resided in him. He wasn't the author of that power. He was a steward who, when called upon by the people, he would step up, he would serve, and then he would step away. He spent all of his life, once he served in the public office, trying to get back to his beloved Mount Vernon, where he just wanted to open a distillery, which became the most popular distillery after his presidency in the country.
And when you visit Mount Vernon, you realize a pretty inventive guy.
Yeah, he planted crops. He was a surveyor by trade and a land speculator before he got into a public life.
It was probably the only thing that kept him out of the poorhouse. He had title and claim to so much property that as he was entertaining dignitaries at Mount Vernon, that was all out of his own pocket, right? I mean,
right.
He kept applying for reimbursement, and I don't think he ever got reimbursed.
No, he didn't. And the different kinds of crops that he experimented with, and he was a tobacco farmer, and those plantations were an economic engine, but they took a lot of time and a lot of attention. And so when he was away, he had to rely on his household to kind of take care of a lot of that stuff, because he was away so much during the war and then again serving two terms as president. And so his whole thing, was about public life, was that, I'm just a steward. I'm just in this for a small part, that God is the ones in charge. The providence and heaven are involved in these. And I'm just here for a very short time doing my little part.
Well, I don't think we could sing the accolades of George Washington very long where we wouldn't have to recognize Martha. She must have been an incredible woman.
Yeah, well, certainly long-suffering in that her husband was gone a lot, and then he was always bringing home house guests and things. And he was devoted to her, they're buried right next to each other at Mount Vernon.
And how about some of the other characters? How about Thomas Jefferson? How about this character, Witherspoon?
Well, Witherspoon was one of the only religious person, the only reverend to sign the Declaration of Independence. He was educated in Scotland. He was a minister, and he eventually came here and took over for what became Princeton University. And he had some very strong ideas about, again, this Enlightenment, about the moral philosophies, the things that governed men, were these natural laws, these things of how the universe worked and how things worked in ourselves, and that we were here for a higher purpose and higher things. And so he believed that the revolution was part of that, bettering ourselves, using our logic and reasoning to get rid of those things that were not good for man and to take on and develop or devise those things that were. Of course, one of his most famous pupils is James Madison, the author of our Constitution, and certainly probably the biggest defender of religious liberty that in our early founding fathers.
I've never been able to get my head around the concept or really dive in deep enough, and this would be like this wouldn't be like what we are going to talk about in the next minute and a half to the next break. This is something you and I would just have to go away and talk a weekend about. These people that come from all these denominations, and Witherspoon being a minister, they were reading basically the same Bible I read, Old Testament, New Testament, and it talks forever about paying unto Caesar what is Caesar's and being loyal to those that are over you, and yet somehow they rationalized it's time to off with his head.
Well, you can kind of thank Martin Luther for that. And what you have here is the conflicting tradition between the Anglican Church, which was, again, still attached to the crown, and so had a very top-down, this is what you believe, this is what you think kind of thing, versus that kind of more religious tradition, that Protestant tradition of Luther, who said, here I stand in my belief and my convictions. And that's what separates the two.
Man. Well, I know which side I would have sided on. And I'm sure I am eternally grateful for what they did, because there isn't any doubt in my mind we live in the greatest country the world has ever known. More with Dr. David Dean when we get back at Rosie on the House.